what a joy it is to be able to sing, be able to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. John 4:23-24, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for such do the Father seek to worship Him. God is the Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Everything we do is to bring honor and glory unto God. Good morning. We're glad to have all of you that are visiting. We have several visitors with us today. We're delighted that you're here, and we hope that you'll come back. If we can be of any assistance to you, please let us know. May God bless us as we study the precious Word of God. From time to time, people ask me if I will preach on a particular subject. And when I can possibly get to it, I try to do that if I can. I've been had requests now to speak on what happens to you when you die. What a good reading from God's Word. The subject of death is a Bible subject, or we would not even consider it. The Bible says that every word of God is pure. God will give him his blessings upon you if you don't add to it or take away. Proverbs 30:5-6. And the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, for all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So every subject that the Bible discusses, all that God has said about that subject helps us to understand why He has given us His Word to teach us. And Job, one of the oldest characters that we read about in the Bible, in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Job, here we find a question that everybody can answer. And that is, if a man die, will he live again? Everybody can answer that if we'll just take the Word of God and we'll listen to what God says and be assured of what God says is true. Now, there are a lot of people who believe that when you die, you're like Rover, the dog, you just die all over and that's the end of you. But the question is, if a man die, will he live again? Well, the first part of that question, everybody will agree on. And that is, it's not if a man dies, it's when he dies. We know that death is an appointment for all men. Job says that man that is born of a woman is a few days full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower. Is cut down, he fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not. And doth thou open thine eyes upon such a one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an evil or unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, there's something you need to think about. The days being determined, and the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. And though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth branches like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man liveth or giveth up the ghost. And then the question is, where is he? As the waters fall from the sea and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not till. Where is he? Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Will a man, if he dies, live again? Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave. Job, what are you talking about? Oh, that God would hide me in the grave. That thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past. That thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Job's going through a lot. He even wants to die. And all that I may be just hidden in the grave. And then he says, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time, remember? Your days being appointed, your time determined. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. I want to stay in the grave. I want to lie in the grave till my change comes. Wow. Thou shalt call. I will answer. Huh? In the grave, now then the Bible says, till he calls. Marvel not at this, for our cometh. When all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Whoa! Those are the words of the Master Jesus. John 5:28-29. Thou shalt call and I will hear that call and I will answer. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands, for now thou numberest my steps. I only have so much time. Whatever that time is, oh God, help me, that when I go to the grave, till you make the calls me, let me sleep. For now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? My transgression is sealed up in the bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. Men fear the unknown and that which they don't understand, but there's a lot about death we can understand. Yes, when we go in here where Job says, if a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my struggle I will wait until my change come. Time is going to come when after one has been put in the grave. What happens to us when we die? According to the Bible. What is mankind's greatest fear? It was interesting to find this. General George Patton said, every time I heard a gunshot, I realized I'm a coward. I'm afraid of dying. Death is something that shall come to all. How shall we approach it? What shall we do? Those who trust God's inspired word have no uncertainty because God has spoken. He has told us clearly. There's no misunderstanding. First of all, it is certain. Certain that it's going to come. It's going to come to 100% of 100 people. There's no exception. Not if we die, it's when we die. David in 2 Samuel 14:14 makes this statement. For we will surely die and are like water spilled on the ground. No exception to the rule, it's certain. Why do we all die? God answers that. God's word clearly teaches that all people will die. Science can tell you so much about this world. But you know what? When it comes to death, there is an explanation by science. And the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Here's your answer. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's why. You have sinned. I have sinned. We all sin. Romans 3:23. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And though all will die because of Adam, all will live again because of Christ. Here's the scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. And let me tell you what, that's why you need to be in Christ. That's why you need to be baptized into Christ. For if you're not in Christ, you don't have anyone for you after you breathe your last breath. And John 5, 28 and 29, marvel not, you will come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. What is death? Many fear death because it's an unknown. In order to understand death, one must first understand the nature of man. Man is created in the image of God. What a fantastic creature. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and your soul and your body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The parallel passage in Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharpened and in a two-edged sword, piercing even dividing the soul and spirit of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Man is what? Spirit, soul, and body. No wonder the Bible tells us that God gave man life from himself. Then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Who made us? God. He formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into the nostrils, in man's nostrils, the breath of life. That's where we came from. Guess what? At death, that breath of life goes back to the one who gave it. Oh, my friend, death is reversal of that process. Remember in Ecclesiastes 12, we've just gotten through of a study of the wonderful book of Ecclesiastes in the adult class. In Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7, remember him? Before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed, the pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed, and then the dust will return to the earth as it was. And what about the spirit? It shall return to God who gave it. No wonder the book closes in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. Now let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. Who? The one who's been made in the image of God. The one to whom God has breathed in His nostrils the breath of life. What is the whole objective? God says, fear me. Do what I say. And the wise man concludes, God shall bring into judgment every secret thing. No secrets with God. Confess them. Get rid of them. So you won't have to give them to camp for them. For he'll bring every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. When God reclaims the spirit which he gave, then that's death. James 2, verse 26 says, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. What happens when a lost person dies? Somebody that's not even a Christian, who's lived 40 years, never obeyed the gospel, who's lived 70 years, never obeyed the gospel. What happens to one who's lost, separated from God, because of sin? Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. There are a multitude of false doctrines that are taught, and we can only know by reading what God says. When anyone dies, lost or saved, his or her body returns to the dust from which it came. God separates the souls of the lost from the souls of the saved and puts them in different places. Yes, at the time one dies. The Bible tells us in Psalm 16, verse 10, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay." In Acts 2:27, "Because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay." From Luke 16, we read that there was a rich man and there was a poor man, and both of them died. Where did they go? Well, the rich man went to torment. When? Right then. That doesn't mean he's going into getting to hell. The judgment is yet to come. God has separated them. The separation between those who are saved and those that are lost. Somebody says sometimes, this person now no longer has to suffer in the flesh, but if they're not a Christian, they'll suffer forever. Separated from God. Forever. God doesn't want that. He begs us not to walk in ways that would cause Him to say, "Depart from me." He gave His Son. Jesus bled and died. He died on the cross so that sinners like you and I could be saved. But if we won't pay any attention to Him, and we won't even do what He tells us to do to get into Him, then we're lost. Lost. And forever. Not for 2 years, 10 years, or 20 years, but for an eternity. Be separated from God. That's the payment for sin. What did we say? Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Who wants to endure that? Being separated from the God of heaven. And that's exactly what happens when we die and we don't even have Jesus as our Lord. Why do you think Jesus said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature"? Because every creature needs Him. God wants every creature. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Who wants to go to torment? And even worse, who wants to go to hell? Gehenna. Separated from God forever. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither is ear heavy that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." Your sins. Wow. In 2 Thessalonians 1:9, listen. Please listen. "These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." To die unsaved. To die out of Christ. To die unfaithful is to spend an eternity forever. Destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. What a contrast. What happens when one who is saved dies? One who has loved Jesus like the lost, a saved person also knows his fate immediately at the moment of his death. He's separated by the Lord. "Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom." I thought about that the other day, Luke 16:22. Can you imagine that the angels accompany this poor man and take him into the place of peace in Abraham's bosom? Wow. To enjoy forever being with the Lord. Remember that thief on the cross? Remember one of them looked to Jesus and said to Jesus, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Jesus said, "Today you will be with me." Where in paradise? And boy, he died and had that great promise to be with Christ. When you die in the Lord, the worst thing you've ever experienced will have been your living upon this earth. You wouldn't come back for nothing. Who would believe being in the presence and the peace of the Lord? When a saved person leaves the body, it goes to be with the Lord. Listen, this I just had to share with you. In Philippians 1 and verse 21, Paul is asking, he says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He says, "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I know not, for I am in a strait betwixt the two, having the desire, wanting, longing to depart." Why, Paul? "And to be with Christ." To be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I'm ready. And when he was told he was going to die, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, "I am now ready to be offered." Why? That day, beloved, he would give up the old body for a wonderful existence to be with Christ. And just think of being able to live with Him forever. Therefore, we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're confident, and this is why we are confident. I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. As a Christian, we await with great anticipation being able to leave this old world and be with the Lord. And remember, when the Lord comes, all the saved will be coming back with Him, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. Someone has said, "Your life on this earth may be great, but if you're saved, it's the worst thing you will ever have to endure." Isn't that something? No wonder all of these disciples could eagerly go to death, suffering death for the cause of Christ, because they live for Him and they're going to be with Him instantly once they leave the old body. Are you saved or are you lost this morning? Do you look forward to the judgment of God? But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. What's he saying? This old building, if it's still here, it's going to be burned up. Why? Earth cannot compare with that place called heaven that God has prepared for those that love Him. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And then 1 Corinthians 15, 53, Paul says, "For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. And therefore, since the children share in the flesh and blood, Christ Himself also partook of the same, that through death He might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives." That's why He died. That's why we have faith. And that's why we want to live for Him to the very last. We mentioned a few moments ago, that was Paul's desire. In 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, on the side there's where I put it, you notice it. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen," and that's one of our problems. We want to see. "But while we look for the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen is what we ought to be looking for. For the things which are seen are temporal. They only last for a little while. But the things which are not seen are eternal. What happens when I die? Well, here's your answer. It depends on what happened while you were alive. It's just that simple. One year ago yesterday, I lost my last brother. He's 75 years of age, Charles. Three brothers now have passed away. Don't have a brother alive. Death comes for us all. My friend, I want to tell you, a year after his death, I've done a lot of soul searching. I really want to be right with my Lord when I die. Don't you? What happens when Guy dies? What will Guy do? What will the Lord say to Guy? It will all depend upon how I live today. How I live tomorrow if I have such a day. How we live before the God who judges us all. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where you are, there, where I am, there you may be also. That's where I want to be, don't you? Now, are you a Christian this morning? Only you can answer that. Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? What do you say? What does the Lord say? Have you been faithful to the Lord? What do you say? What does God say? What do I say? The big thing is, each person will stand before his God, and each one of us will have to give an account for ourselves before the Lord. Oh, Jesus is inviting. He's here. He's made a promise, and I know He keeps it. In Matthew 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. He's ready. He's willing. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Where do you stand today in this life? But the question is, where will you stand tomorrow or when you die? If you're not ready to meet the Lord, get ready. All we try to do is encourage you to turn to the one that can save you. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, 15, and 16. What happens when I die? If a man die, will he live again? Someplace. Somewhere. Either with God, with the Lord, or away from Him. And the decision you make right now could be the determining of your destiny with God. We beg you to come if you're subject to His invitation anyway. If we can assist you, won't you do that while together we stand?